Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 8th of February, wow. 2022.
What's with the enunciation?
I don't know. Somebody said I slurred. So well, I can enunciate if I have to.
Thank you very much.
I sound like a Southern preacher.
John, we've had quite the week. We've had quite the volatility. So many cool things that are going on. You want to hear about two of them?
Yeah, I know which two you're talking about.
The biggest one-day loss of market cap in the history of the markets happened just last week.
Yeah.
And the day after, the biggest one-day gain in market cap for a company ever in the history of the markets. So the first one, you know the stock on the first one?
No.
Facebook.
Oh, yes, right.
Facebook was $230 billion loss. Yeah. Zuck lost like $27
billion. Oh, poor bastard. Yep.
And the next day was the biggest up, which was Amazon.
Yeah.
So there you go. Things are looking good. Kind of crazy. There was the funny thing about that also was that analysts have, you know, they have their heads up their ass and they just go along with the crowd and they're a bunch of penguins. We know that. There was
I think there was only
two or three non-buys. So the ratings were, you know, what's the rating? Buy with a price target of, you know, X above what the price was, of course. And there was only like two or three neutrals or holds and maybe one sell out there. Out of all the,
this is on Amazon you're talking.
No, this is on Facebook. On all
Facebook, everyone was saying buy?
Yeah. Just the way it goes. Then they all start running around like chickens without their heads. Oh, maybe we need to, you know, take down our estimates. Crazy.
Well, those estimates, you must not have a lot of confidence in what you're doing.
I don't even understand what the point is of all these guys. It's comical. It's like they're just shooting in the dark and just following each other, hoping that the information that the company provides, which is the case. The companies do provide a lot of information. They have teams of people in their investor relations department. That's what they do. They make sure that the analysts have essential knowledge of what's going to happen. So that's something. The Fed has no clue either. Really disappointing that they haven't learned anything from any of the mistakes they've made over time. You know, you and I think, tell me if I'm wrong. If we do a few things and maybe it doesn't turn out the way that we thought it would, one of the things that we may do is do it different the next time. You'd hope. You'd hope that you'd maybe take a slight difference, maybe not redo everything you've done. But if you're cooking a dish and it's too spicy, maybe the next time you lighten up on the cayenne. But no. The Fed just cannot seem to do that. They have to have creation of bubbles and then popping those bubbles so that we go through this process that somewhere in the middle of it, everybody feels great and good, and then it all goes to hell. So, and the world has gone pear-shaped. Crazy amounts of debt, prices, inflation, no plan by any government. Everybody's fighting now, it seems. We got all this stuff going on, and oil goes up no matter what, and markets don't care, but then they care. Got this pear-shaped world going on right now of people leaving the job because they just don't want to work for whatever reason.
And this is my favorite.
I'm not happy with the fact that I have to work, so therefore, I am not going to work. There's something to be said about that.
Yeah, it's nuts.
But why is that with this generation? Do they think that they're going to be bailed out all the time? Because it's not the older, it's not our generation or your generation. We're in a little bit of a separate generation. I'm what, a Gen Xer, right? You're a boomer?
Are you?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm a baby boomer.
You're a boomer.
We've always believed that you should just work yourself to death. Until you drop.
Right, and you hopefully die on the phone making a sale in your office.
Either that or in the saddle, one of the two.
So I don't understand what it is. And can I just say, I think that was wrong also. I think the working yourself to death, this whole concept of work-life balance where people said, early on, somebody said something to me that you've heard that I found very profound. And that was, there's nobody on their deathbed that says, oh, I wish I could have worked a few more hours. Right?
Yeah, I would guess so.
And that really stuck with
me. Although there's plenty of people on their deathbed that would say, I'd rather be working right now at a job being on my deathbed.
Right. I'd rather have these tubes removed and be doing something on a calculator. But I agree. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, the fact is that what do you want in your gravestone? He was an excellent worker, showed up on time.
Punctual.
He's very punctual.
On your gravestone.
I mean, that's not what you want, right?
Punctual until the end.
Died right when he said he was going to die. So anyway, I just think that there's some crazy things that are going on right now. A lot of them have to do with probably some of the things that we set up from. I think we could back this down to the financial crisis. I think that's when this all started to develop.
Around 2008.
Yeah. It all started to develop where everybody thought they could make money very easily on housing. Then they went into the stock market. Then they got burned. Then they got bailed out. Then we started growing again. Then we got the cryptocurrency, lots of money there. Got burned, no bailout, come back down. Then they had the markets again into the pandemic, bailed out again. You see, there's a pattern here, right? Pattern.
Yes, I think the pattern entails some sort of bailout.
Bailout is the word, yep. So I think that's the pear-shaped notion that people believe that, maybe we could do what we want. Maybe we could work from home and I'll figure out a way somehow money will come in. Worst comes to worst, I could be an Uber driver for a few days and get enough money to buy myself some Chipotle, which beat numbers very nicely and stock is up after hours tonight beautifully.
Well, it's not a stock I like.
Yep. Well, it's not that it's not a stock. Let's clarify that, John C. Dvorak. And I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I'm going to say something and you tell me if you'd agree. It's not a stock that you don't like. It's a restaurant and the food that you don't like.
Never had their food.
So why don't you like the stock? What is it about the stock?
I don't like the fact that they've had a couple of episodes of food poisoning that they've never identified the source of.
Did anybody die?
Yeah, I think did somebody die during
It was an E. coli something, right?
E. coli. It was an E. coli thing, and they never identified the source. Well, that bothers me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It means you can't fix the problem if you don't know what the source of the problem was.
Or they haven't told us, either one.
Well, I think they would have. Well, unless it was, then it has to be some internal thing. That's worse.
Quick market update. Volatility is there. Markets, though, it's very interesting. We've seen this daily intraday volatility. It's been pretty intense, and I find it to be really interesting, even yesterday.
Didn't we see this some years ago, this very similar situation?
We've had bouts of it, yeah. Yeah, I agree. We've had the taper tantrum. We've had during the financial crisis, during the pandemic, during any times of crisis, this crazy amounts of volatility. This time I don't want to say it's different. It's the same. And there's definitely a bid underneath it. And that's kind of interesting. But what I found the most interesting over the last 2 weeks was that this market volatility that we're seeing is daily intraday, but over the last few weeks, not a lot of movement of the indices by the end of the week. In fact, they were higher. So there's obviously some support that's being found or a reckless abandonment of any sense of reality.
Well, I can't figure out what it is.
And we have oil moving higher, making its way to $100 a barrel. I think it was like 92 yesterday. It fell back a little bit today. Rates are approaching 2% 10-year yield on the 10-year Treasury is 1.95% to close out today. And we have the CPI numbers coming out on, I think, Thursday. So that's going to be a big issue. We saw already the PCE. We saw last month's numbers. We saw the internal numbers in the manufacturing prices paid. All of these numbers are pointing to continuation of inflationary pressures. And the big issue that we've been also seeing is some wage gains. The last numbers we saw last week on Friday, even though the unemployment rate popped to about 4% from 3.9%, but that's a little bit of a, I would say, a volatile measure. But 0.1% change is not volatile. That's just a margin of error. We did see not only 400 plus thousand people added to the payrolls when everybody was like, oh my God, it's going to be negative 100, 200. We're going to lose all these jobs.
Yeah. And then everyone said.
Came up. And not only that, the last month was from 100, and I think last month we were 150,000.
Yeah, they jacked it up.
They jacked it up from last month.
Remember during the, I don't know whose administration. I think it was during Obama's mostly.
Yeah, it was Obama's.
When they're always jacking it down. Remember that? Yep. They'd come up with a number, and then like 3 months later, they had to lower it.
And it was almost as if it was a scam in order to pacify people at the time the information came out.
Yeah. Now it's the opposite.
Now it's the opposite. Well, because I think, I don't know why. Maybe they are, I don't know. February continues the recovery somewhat again. Central banks, Bank of England. Here's a couple of things that are going on right now around the world. The Bank of England raised rates to 0.5% last Thursday. What was interesting was that nearly half of the policymakers wanted to, well, let me say it a different way. There was not a unanimous decision. There was dissension amongst the central bankers of England as to what they were going to do. Now, usually when you hear something like that, it's like, okay, maybe 3/4 of them, 60% of them wanted to increase it by 25 basis points. And the rest of them said, no, let's let it just sit where it is. What happened here was this split decision. 4 of the 9 members wanted to raise interest rates by 0.5%, which would have been the biggest increase in borrowing costs since the Bank of England became operationally independent, quote unquote, 25 years ago. So they ended up raising it 0.25%, 0.25% to 0.5. But half of them approximately wanted to, or less than half of them, wanted to raise it by 0.5. They think inflation is that bad in England.
Well, I haven't seen any evidence of this, but I mean, that it's that bad.
In England?
Yeah. No, I'm talking about England.
Okay. Well, they said, it was 5.4% in December, the CPI. They think it's going to peak around 7.25% in April, which, again, nobody has clarity about the future. So I don't know why they're trying to even be stupid enough to give any kind of numbers a few months out.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
It's like driving in a fog and saying, yeah, there's a turn coming up. How do you know? Till you get right up on it, you know? Credit Suisse, remember that name? We've been talking about them for years, about the underhanded operation that they are. Every time there's something, it's either going to be, what, Credit Suisse or what's the other one we always talk about?
Deutsche Bank?
Deutsche Bank, thank you. The two of them, right?
Yeah.
So Credit Suisse is facing charges in a Swiss court on Monday of allowing an alleged Bulgarian cocaine trafficking gang to launder tens of millions of dollars or euros, some of it stuffed into suitcases. They say the country's second biggest bank and one of its former relationship managers did not take all necessary steps to prevent the alleged drug traffickers from hiding and laundering cash between 2004 and 2008. Now,
So I guess the cash coming in beat up old suitcases was not a clue.
Right, exactly. And why are they now prosecuting. Now, what year are we in? 2022. So let's do a little calculation here. 2004 to 2008, let's split it down the middle. Let's say 2006. Why are they just prosecuting 16 years later? 16 years.
Yeah.
How does that even work?
I guess they can't put a case together in without spending. I don't know. It seems like there seems to be some sort of corruption at that level too.
You would think there was a statute of limitations on this. I mean, it's bizarre. I don't understand. So by not pushing this case for 16 years, don't you think that it opens up the door for just more bad actors doing the same, realizing they have plenty of runway?
Yeah.
Yeah, terrible.
Already bought their islands and they're gone somewhere and no one will ever track them down.
Exactly. Postal Service, they're looking for electric vehicles. You know, that big deal that was put together a few years, last year, I guess it was, there was a whole refit. You know, Joe Biden, oh, I heard a good one. Do you know that the American bobsled team has named its bobsled Biden?
Well, at least they didn't name it Brandon.
But yeah, let's go Brandon. That, you haven't heard that. But you know why they named it Biden?
Why?
Nothing goes downhill faster.
Oh, okay. That tops my gag.
So anyway, Postal Service looking for more EVs. They said, you know what? We want to be better climate and, you know, we're supposed to, so why don't we? And it said it could buy more electric vehicles if the funding were there and available, following, of course, Biden administration's criticism of the agency's plan to replace its fleet with mainly gas-powered delivery trucks. In all fairness, the Oshkosh is a hybrid, and there's some that are electric, so there's just a whole bunch of different things. But the initial refit of the entire fleet was supposed to be with much more energy efficient, which it's going to be, but electric. And it's not. Now, I was at a meeting this morning with one of the heads of Merrill Lynch's investment something or other guy, dude. He's giving a presentation. He was talking about EVs. Everybody's all jacked up about getting EVs. And they're all excited about EVs, not realizing that 70% of the energy that comes and the energy that's utilized to charge your EV is from coal plants. Doesn't that?
Another thing while you're on that topic is the Army just put out a release saying that they want to turn all their vehicles electric by 2050 and at least get somewhat neutral by 2030. So we're to believe that they're going to have electric tanks.
Oh, I was thinking the horror. The
electric tank. And where they can have extension cords if you're in the field of battle. They can't, you know, how do you supply the electricity?
No, they'll have charging stations and have a set battlefield where you could charge. All right, everybody, time out. Just a quick time out. We're going to.
Yeah, we're
going
to have to charge for the next 6 hours.
Yep. Raise the flag, get the wounded, and allow for a quick ceasefire for charging. Oh, that's great. That's great. Well.
And the Secretary of the Army seems to be oblivious to this, the obviousity of the stupidity of this idea, but okay.
Would an EM, what's it called? EM, what's that bomb? You know, the EM.
Electromagnetic pulse.
Yeah, EMP. Would EMP knock out an EV faster than it would a gas-powered vehicle?
Wow. Well, you can, I believe you can harden gas-powered vehicles, especially if you don't have too much, you know, you don't have too many computers in them.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Because an EMP will definitely take out an electric car for sure. Because it's just all wires. It's just nothing else there.
But a lot of these have to travel for, you know, you take these things. Think about Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan. You take these Hummers into the deep desert. You're going. And very difficult to, not to mention the weight of the batteries, but not, I don't understand why we can't have the gas powered. It's just, We're killing people, for God's sakes. That's the whole game. You know, you're going to be upset about the environment from tanks? I mean, I don't know. What's worse? You're bombing towns. You're wiping out neighborhoods. And we're all concerned about, we just don't want to pollute.
It's ludicrous.
Something's wrong with, again, pear-shaped world, right? So the big question is the Oshkosh deal going to be reversed? There's some question about that. That company Workhorse, which I liked way back when, which we took it off the list way back when, couldn't get a deal done. They were holding out for the Postal Service deal. It's like $3, $3.10 now, the stock. And looking
what was it? What did it cycle through?
Oh, a lot.
Well, what's the symbol?
WKHS. WKHS stock. Must have been $30 at one point. So let's see. Year to date, down 26%. 1 year, down 91%. It was $40 at one point.
Huh. Well, there's a stock for you bottom feeders out there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Past 5 years, it is up 17%.
Well, what was it before? $2, $1.50?
It's up 225% all time from when it was originally traded $1 back in 2014. So somebody still got a profit.
Yeah.
So
not the guys who bought it at 40, but
exactly. Okay, what else do we have here? Facebook Meta, let's talk about that. Ever since they changed their name, earnings miss, poor guidance, 22% down for the day.
The new name is a jinx. They've got to get rid of it.
It's like when they change the name on a football field. What happens to the team? It goes to crap, right?
A lot of times.
They put they put something on the front cover of Time or on Barron's. What happens?
It goes down.
Yeah, so they all of a sudden they decide they're going to change the whole name of this thing. Everybody's like, what the hell is Meta? You know, Zuck is all excited about this thing, so he can never go outside and just live inside his headset.
Yeah, he wasn't pale enough.
Yeah, he's right, exactly. So now we have a situation where 22% down for the day, 43% down from its high in September.
Well, to be honest about it, sounds like a buying opportunity as far as I'm concerned.
Wasn't this company supposed to be the recession-proof advertising mega name, a cash cow that was just going to protect everybody from all of these potential problems?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. I think they lost their way a bit, and they were relying too much on the flow of personal information from sources other than their own sources.
Uh-huh.
In other words, Google and Apple.
Apple, yeah.
And they kind of lost the direction. They should be focusing more on advertising and competing with the newspapers and magazines. It's direct, straight up, without having to get too fancy. Getting too fancy is what's hurting them. It's a simple business.
Right. It's a very simple business. They're just to be very clear about what Facebook is and Facebook or Meta, whatever. I'm calling them Facebook. What it is they are an advertising company that utilizes free data to collect information to target market the audience. Right?
Yeah. And they've got enough information on their own platform to do a great job of that. But by going out and scraping, mostly, information in whatever manner they do it. I mean, it could be legit. They could be buying information. They could be stealing it. There's a lot of ways of scraping data. By going in that direction, I think it was a dumb idea.
Yeah.
Because then you're at the mercy of Apple and Google. And Google's competing with you. They're glad to cut you off at the knees.
Very happy to.
Apple's got his own reasons.
Mm-hmm. So the next day after Facebook came out, we saw this terrible number. Still rolling over, by the way. It's still down. It was down again today, about 2%, which is pretty substantial. One of the reasons why the markets really started kicking down was that the top layer. Remember, I talked about this. You remember this discussion about the sinkhole? I said once we get the top layer that starts eroding, like a lake that has ice and there's a soft spot you go through, boy, it's ugly underneath. So that's exactly what happened here. Now, on the other side, though, we had a few different companies. Well, we had Microsoft. The two companies that really stunk it up were Netflix and Facebook. Those are the companies, the big names, that really screwed things up. All the other names, Google, Amazon, Microsoft, glorious.
Yeah.
So a day after Facebook.
Stark contrast.
Unbelievable. And the thing is that you had this whole bounce around thing going on where you'd see one company come in poorly, knock down stocks. For example, when Facebook came out with their earnings, they were down 20-something percent. In sympathy for it, there's another company who was coming out with the earnings the next day. It's called Snapchat or Snap. Snap was down 20% plus in the after hours in sympathy with Facebook.
That makes no sense.
The next day they come out with their earnings, the first profitable quarter ever, stock is up 60%.
There you go.
So a lot of craziness going on.
Nice buying opportunity in that sympathetic down.
Yep. So a day after Facebook owner Meta came out with their deepest loss to the stock market valuation in the history for a U.S. company, Amazon logged the greatest one-day ever increase in value. Shares of the online and cloud computing company surged more than 13% on Friday, which is enormo. Like $190 billion by the end of trading was gained. One of the big reasons, well, their earnings were okay. There wasn't any real pockets of problem. Their outlook was okay. There was a big gain that was also included inside of the earnings on the Rivian sale. They had a piece of the Rivian stock, and they funded that. The cloud was gigantic, plus 39% increase year over year for AWS. That was big. Advertising revenue, first time it broken out, was $9.7 billion for advertising revenue. That was what Eric could have been hurt. But the big news that really got things rocking, very similar to what happened in Netflix, but Amazon did it smartly with a lot of thought. Instead of coming out with this before the earnings, they did it concurrent. That was, they're increasing their Prime membership by 17% to $139. First time they increased since 2018.
Yeah, they're getting close to the limit. And the reason I'm saying this is that this could become an issue because I'm one of these members. And I don't like the fact that it used to be $75. Let's start with that.
I remember that.
So it's doubled.
Yep.
So they've doubled it. Oh, well, almost doubled. Is that more and more because of the Prime thing, if you start looking at their site for stuff to buy, even without Prime, it's free shipping. It's not free two-day shipping. And there's two things. One, you can get free shipping anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And two, the two-day shipping thing is malarkey. I'd say at least half of the things that are supposed to be one overnight or 2 days, oh, you get it tomorrow. You don't get it.
Mm. Are you in a place that doesn't have a lot of...
I have good service here. We're loaded to the gills with product and everything in between. But some of these items, you just don't get when you're supposed to. It shows up 3 days later. It shows up, you know, it's not a big deal. Sometimes it shows up a day early. It's another thing. You're supposed to wait. You say, oh, we got to get this on Friday. It shows up on Thursday. It's nothing to complain about. I said, you might not be there. So you don't want to just have the thing sitting outside.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of issues. Their service is not what it once was. You do get Amazon Prime TV, which is actually pretty good.
Yeah, you get the Prime Video. You get the Prime Music, which is great.
I never use it.
I use that more than anything else. I have a huge amount of playlists and streams. Well, you download things for offline.
Okay. Well, I should probably play with it then.
You also have Amazon Photos, which you have unlimited photo backup. Unlimited.
Yeah. I've not gotten that thing to, there's like Google has something similar.
Right.
And I've never gotten really comfortable using it, especially the Amazon one. Google thing is like half automatic. It's just like, what happened to my pictures? Oh, they're online. Which is kind of annoying too. Yeah, I should look at the Amazon Photo thing and see if that actually works.
I thought it was interesting when I used it. I just did one batch of photos up there, so I was sharing it. And I said, oh, let me try this, because I didn't want to put it on the other ones. It was, you know, a gig of data from all the photos. And I said, well, it's free. Let's see what it does. Worked pretty well. I thought it worked pretty well. There's more Amazon and Peloton news, a lot of Peloton news. Last week, you and I talked about this whole thing and said, man, this this management's terrible, right? I mean, this CEO is awful, making mistake after mistake after mistake. Well, here's some updates.
Where's the board? Where's the board?
Well, they kicked in, it seems. First of all, last Friday at 4:30, 5 o'clock, close of markets, going into the weekend, let's head home. Peloton gets a boost on reports, quote-unquote, reports that Amazon may be looking to buy the company. What do you think of that?
That's interesting.
Good fit. Good fit.
I guess Amazon's bought a bunch of these little companies that a lot of them we don't know, that when you go to their site to buy some product, whether it's a cable or a camera or whatever it is, it's sometimes it's Amazon owns it.
Let's see what the market usually, value is.
You can tell usually because they promote it. But I was reading somebody wrote an article about all the secret stuff that Amazon actually owns that they sell on their site.
Oh, really? Under white label?
No, under brands. Oh. Just really Amazon.
Wow. Huh. Well, here's a couple of things.
It's Amazon's favorite, too. They get a little label. Our favorite. You know.
They just announced earnings, too. That I think it was today. Well, here's a couple of things. So the stock's up like 25% on this news Friday afternoon. There's some talk that Nike's even interested in buying it. I would think that if you would have choose a company that a fitness firm could work with that would be a good fit would be Apple, to be honest with you. Nike's interesting. There's some clothing.
Because Nike could have the Peloton machines built in by slave labor in the Uyghur area.
Oh, there you go. So
cut the price in half.
You know, it's worth 12, or what's Peloton is now, market cap is $12 billion. I think it was over $50 billion at one point. So
you still too high.
Yeah, maybe. Stock is up to 22% on that news. 25%. Now, today, before the market opens, there's all these apologies, all sorts of things that went on over the last couple of days. And all apologies and, oh, the CEO made mistakes and they're owning it. They're owning it. The CEO's stepping down. This other guy's moving in that used to be with, I think, Spotify. So he has some good depth in there. And stock was up 25, 26%, up another 3.5%. Meanwhile, they threw the kitchen sink on it. This is an old trick in business. When you replace the CEO, what you do is just throw everything crappy in there. So now they guided down about, a third, 25% reduction in revenue from what they just thought a few months ago they were going to produce for the next quarter or for the next year or two.
That old trick.
Yeah. So now the outlook for the year is dropping 25%.
They're creating a new baseline.
Exactly. Just, you know what? The other guy comes in, hey, you know what? Here's what I'll do. I'll take the job. But you know what? We need to start with a low base. You're leaving anyway.
Yeah, so my stock options can make me more money. That's the reason.
Right. You cashed out already. You're out of the picture. You're guaranteed on this deal. We're paying you off to get out of here. Just ride off into the sunset. I think you're actually becoming chairman of the board, by the way, not CEO anymore. So just get out of here and let me at least have something to work with. Stock was up 25% today, 3% after hours. We're talking about a huge move over the last several days from, let's see, I'll go 5 days. Stock is up 34% in the last 5 days. So not a bad move for a company. It looks like it's going to be just disassembled.
Yeah.
Pretty good. So, something, I had a question. I mentioned I was listening to the speaker this morning at a very early breakfast, which is probably another reason why I'm exhausted. The breakfast was started at 7, and which means you have to get up at, I don't know, 6, drive over there, traffic. Well, the question I would have asked would have been about ESG, which I'm now recoding the acronym or the letters that stand for this as ESGBS, because this whole thing has gotten out of hand. The incredible amount of money that's flowed into companies that say they are environmentally friendly or socially responsible or have a high degree of governance. Now what's happening is some of the companies out there are saying, wait a second, this greenwashing that you're doing here to make it look good so that you can be included in the various indices, no, 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 this is not going to happen. Credit rating agencies say the companies face new risks, and the credit rating agency themselves are throwing themselves into the fast-growing business of ESG investing. And the SEC is now warning them, hey, dudes, you need to chill out, because if you're doing the rating, you may have a liability here, because if it's really just greenwashed, we got big problems. Let's not forget, the rating agencies were the one that were giving all the bonds back in the days, the security.
Yeah, higher ratings than they, right. It was helped sink the whole economy in 2008. Yep.
Once again, it's about how much money. Oh, let's get a piece of it. We don't care. We're not going to worry about it. The new risks that are being created is the methodologies that they may push aside, failures to manage conflicts. So the SEC is kind of on this right now. Again, it's all about the money. It's a Jerry Maguire moment. Everybody needs to realize that. We need to embrace the fact that a lot of things that we hear on CNBC and Bloomberg, all of this is crap.
It's all crap.
It's all crap.
No doubt about it. ESG is the top of it.
Yep. And that's why, if you have eyes wide open going into the world of investing and understand all of the dynamics of it, you say, you know what? The fact is that, I don't want to say this whole thing is rigged, but it is at least properly dressed. Okay, right?
Yeah, and if I believe that some of these companies, if they do what they say and they really go into it deep, they're going to be screwed. They're not going to be viable. They're not going to be competitive.
Right. So this SEC is on it. I mean, Gensler's doing a good job. He's trying to make sure there's proper regulation across a variety of different areas, inclusive of cryptocurrencies. And I think what he's done, he really put a lot of backbone and put meat on the bone, actually, of the regulatory environment post-financial crisis. So he's a good guy to have in there. Smart guy.
That's a plus.
Yep. Adopt an animal goes NTF. NFT. I don't know where NTF came from just now. NFT. So, you know, you've seen those commercials.
So, what?
You've seen
this
those.
This makes no sense, yeah. But go on.
You know, you've seen that commercial. It's like, you know, first they have the children, and they show the children that are, you know, with the big bellies with the flies around their head. You've seen those commercials, right? You know, give to the, you know, Uganda Relief Fund or whatever it is.
Sure, I get a close-up of some poor kid who's too underweight. He looks pathetic, and there's a fly walking across his eyeball.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like for just $5 a month. I'm like, okay. Well, they have the same kind of thing going on with animals. They've done this for years. Now they're just getting really weird when they're going to go create an NFT. Wild Earth is the organization, which is a wildlife streaming service, which I suppose they have cameras set up throughout the various the areas throughout South Africa and other areas that may have wildlife. And they're minting NFTs linked to 25 prominent animals like, how do you say that? Tialamba on the Juna Game Reserve in South Africa. Now, one of the things I find interesting is you buy an NFT of an animal because now you are essentially, I guess, adopting an animal. Now, NFTs, aren't they supposed to be these replication or not replications? Aren't they supposed to be a reference point and a duly agreed upon ownership that is held on the blockchain for authentication, right? Isn't that the point of it?
Something like that, but they're tradable.
And they're tradable. They're tradable. Now, I don't mean to be a spoil sport here, but don't animals have a life expectancy?
Yes, they tend to. Uh-huh.
They tend to. And not to mention that the normal life expectancy of a gazelle could be 15 years. But you know what? You get that that jackal or that leopard or that lioness that is quite hungry, and that NFT now is representative of a kill.
Yeah, it's some other NFT animal's food.
Right. So maybe
the NFT's eating each other.
Maybe there's something there. Yeah. Buyers will get special access to images, video, and information about creatures like Tayalumba via an app.
Who would fall for this bull crap?
Where they could also talk with other NFT owners. They even get voting rights in the names of the animals' cubs and first dibs on future NFTs.
Oh, please. The insanity is just beyond comparison for any other era we've ever lived in.
It is this the do-gooders. Everybody wants to be a do-gooder. I'm adopting an animal. Why don't we have NFT adopt a highway? That seems like something.
Ooh, now you're talking.
Right? That seems like something we do for some unknown reason that people give money to
adopt a highway.
Which makes no sense because it's taxpayer money that should really use to clean it up. And by the way,
well, I think that you put it on there for it's usually promotional.
Yeah, it's promotion. It's advertising. It's Dvorak adopted this wonderful stretch of this dirt road. What a good fella he is.
Yeah. You know, put some web address.
Yeah. Do you know if you're able to sue a city for faulty roads that damage your car?
I think you can.
Did I tell you about my flat tire?
It's a rigmarole. You got a flat tire from a chuck hole.
Yeah. And guess what? My wife did it the next day.
Same chuck hole? Same one. And she got a flat tire too?
Yep. And then 2 days
That's
later.
That's a bad chuck hole.
And then 2 days later, I'm driving and I see this poor guy pulled over to the side of the road, jacking his car up. I'm like, hey, mister, what happened?
There's a goddamn hole in the road back there.
Thing is, just claiming everybody.
Wow, that's a bad one.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some around here that I'm aware of that I've hit, but I've never gotten a flat tire from hitting one. That's terrible.
Yeah, it's just the perfect size that your tire goes in and smashes against the other side.
Yeah, I can. It's a perfect storm of a pothole.
Yeah. AT&T said last week, I don't know if you've seen the stock on that one, it's horrible. It's just going to spin off Warner Media in a $43 billion transaction to merge its media properties with Discovery.
Yeah.
And also cut its dividend by nearly half. That's not good. Investors.
Well, this is interesting because John Malone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to take over CNN. And it's going to be fun to watch because we've already seen Jeff Zucker get, quit. He quit.
Got booted.
Well, he quit because he saw the writing on the wall.
It was a mutual. We decided to pay.
Yeah, he saw the writing on the wall that John Malone's coming. John Malone is a big Trump supporter.
You think CNN's going to the dark side?
CNN is going to be ravaged by this guy.
Wow.
It's going to come out the other end, completely different kind of a network. Maybe have more. I don't know what they're going to change. Malone's something of a genius when it comes to this kind of thing. He's not a slouch, but he's also not a friendly guy that you want to pal around with. He takes names, whatever you call that phrase. And so this is going to be a big change.
You think they're going to like Don, what's that guy's name? Don.
No, he's gone. There's no way he's going to be.
Maybe he'll want to keep his job and he'll be like, turn.
No, it's too late. These guys, they've already marked themselves for death. Don Lemon. They're already screwed. This guy's got a long memory.
One of the rules that Malone will have is nobody that cries is allowed to be on the network. Which then dumps half the CNN commentators.
Yeah, they're all gone.
Hmm.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yep. I still don't think that the investors like the deal, so we'll have to see how that goes. It's just AT&T is...
Well, we'll
think about how incredible our phones are these days and the 5G and things and all that goes on the networks and the requirement, how wonderfully Apple has done, how awful how AT&T has done.
It's pretty astonishing.
It's unbelievable. It has to be management, obviously.
Well, yeah. I guess Tim Cook is something of a genius CEO and has managed to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's when he goes. There's the two things. Apple's a great short someday. And it'll be Tim Cook is, he'll have a bad quarter. And this is what we've seen this before with John Scully. People don't realize that when John Scully took over from Steve Jobs,
that was ugly.
It wasn't ugly. He increased the revenue of the company by like 8 to 10 fold.
But then they had several missteps.
Yes. There was one. I think it was just one. And they pushed him out and put in a bunch of losers that couldn't keep the company afloat. And they almost bankrupted the company. So I see the same thing happening again.
Wow.
And wow. So when Cook is gone, which won't be until they have maybe one bad quarter or two and he gets fed up or he just retires, you know, I mean, I'm sure he enjoys the job, but once he's gone, that's it. It's obvious to me that this is the guy who was, keeping this company growing like crazy. Yeah. And once he's gone, it's not going to, I don't see anybody being able to take his place, and I don't see him grooming anybody. Even Steve Jobs, it was obvious he was grooming Cook. And we'll see.
There's a few guys in the back that have, you know, when they make presentations, then.
Yeah, they're losers.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I've seen these guys. They're not good. They don't have. And also Cook is something of a logistics genius. He's the guy who invented a lot of these tricks and to make things run smoothly. And just,
you gotta love a guy like that. Gotta love a guy like that.
You can't find guys like that in any. Yep.
No, they don't want to work. You're not going to have somebody that's in their basement playing a Guitar Hero. And even the guys that play Guitar Hero, is a very famous guy this week. He plays Guitar Hero so well, the number one hardest song at the expert level. Nobody can play a perfect score. He's on YouTube all the time playing Guitar Hero. Turns out he's a fake. Turns out he slows it down, plays it, and then puts it faster back on a video edit and makes it look like he's playing it at full speed.
Nice.
It's a fake.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That's how you do it.
Oh, Theranos everywhere. So let's talk about quickly commodities. Crude oil drops from its high, just bid under $90. Lumber's climbing again. Gold and silver steady. There you go. That's it. Now, Ford, got a lot of little announcements of what happened over the week because earnings were coming out. Ford, which was like, you know, the new darling. Everybody's like, oh, they're really going to take out Tesla and they're doing all this and they have that. And their stock went like vertical. Amazing. Company came out with earnings. During that period of time, stock drops from 24 to 18. EVs are big news. Investors were really excited. But now they're suspending and cutting production in 8 of its factories in the United States, Mexico, and Canada throughout the next week because of chip supply constraints. The changes come a day after they warned a chip shortage will lead to a decline in vehicle volume. The production factories in Michigan, Chicago, and Mexico will be suspended. In Kansas City, production of the F-150 pickup trucks will be idled while one shift will run for production of its transit vans. So I still can't get this stuff together. Now, in fairness, Ford puts out a lot more vehicles than Tesla does by a long shot.
Quite a long shot.
So their idling doesn't really do anything. But they don't get the multiples or the respect for a lot of reasons that some other companies do. So
they're stodgy.
Nostalgia, they have incredible pension obligations that is just...
And there's that. You really have to go through a bankruptcy to snap out of that.
Yep. Let's see. Apple is announcing Tap to Pay. They're going to use NFC or near field communications to tap your phone with another phone.
I thought this is already going on.
Or a terminal. I don't know why you have to tap. Why don't you just push a button?
This sounds old.
I don't know why you push a button. What's a tap? I'm not tapping my phone on something and maybe breaking something. Why would I do that? I got camera lenses on the back. I got screens. Why am I tapping? I don't understand. Am I tapping my finger? No, I think they're talking about tapping two phones together. Maybe tapping my phone like I do my credit card onto a terminal. I don't understand why I'm tapping. Yeah, why would
you do that? You got a credit card, works
fine.
I'm
not tapping. I don't know. I'm not doing the tapping. Just telling you right now, okay? Thank you. Booze news. Tequila can overtake vodka as America's favorite liquor. What do you think about that?
I'm surprised.
I was out to dinner not too long ago down in Miami, and the gang I was with was ordering Don Julio 1420s.
Yeah.
Doubles. Do you know how much a single glass, a single drink of a Don Julio 1420 is in South Beach?
It's probably too much.
$58.
That's too much.
They're ordering doubles. That's $116.
Well, this is kind of a big spender.
Yes, it was.
For tequila?
Yes, for very good tequila. I drank it. It was very good. It was very
good. Well, I'm sure it's very good. The tequila, all the añejos are all really good. No matter who makes them, those are the aged ones usually in a barrel or something, and they taste that they have a nice quality. The better ones, I think the Patron is. I know, what do I need the Don Julio? I'm not paying that kind of money.
Yep, it's forget a lot. It. Well, this is one of the things. I mean, tequila mezcal now is the second fastest growing spirits category in 2021. Agave based spirits saw a climb of 30% compared with the prior year, $5.2 billion. It's also the second largest category by revenue behind number one vodka, which has been the top selling spirit in the United States since the 70s. This comes in at $7.3 billion in revenue. Vodka is still selling roughly $2 billion more annually than tequila and mezcal, but agave-based spirits could be on track to outstrip it in just a few years. Have you ever had mezcal? Not the mezcal, not the one with the worm in it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the mezcal spirit.
My son and an associate have been bringing in small batch farmer's mezcal from some part of Mexico in carboys or something. And this stuff is like a variety of like 10 different styles made by old farmers, you know, in a pot still using a cognac techniques from what I can tell to make this stuff. And it's interesting. Yes, I've had mezcal. In fact,
the question was, do you like it?
Well, this mezcal that they're talking about is selling at and their idea is to sell it for about $100 a bottle.
It's artesian. It's artesian.
It's very artesian.
Artesian.
And start by doing it with a mezcal club, which has got some issues, but okay. Is good.
So I've tasted this. It tastes like it reminds me of a scotch, which is, let's call that the tequila, the conception, thinking about that, and a very peaty, like a Lagavulin, you know, where that's that heavy, peaty, smoky stuff.
Lafroig.
Yeah, Lafroig. I mean, it's very, the mezcal is so smoky. I find it annoying.
Some of it, not all of it.
Mm. Maybe I'm drinking the wrong stuff.
There's one batch that's made with a dead turkey, which is tossed into the must. And distilled.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Raw?
And it's used for, it's like there's a bunch of legal limitations on what you can do with this stuff. It's used in celebrations and so, like at weddings or something, this particular mezcal. It's quite tasty.
So it's not wild turkey. It's dead turkey mezcal.
Yes, there's a dead turkey in it.
Ah, that's unbelievable. That's crazy.
Believe me, half of these stories are just unbelievable.
Well, it's like the whiskey that they put in barrels on a ship, and they say that the rocking of the ship helps to smooth out the flavor.
I don't know if it smooths it out or wrecks it, one of the two.
Crazy. In our coin segment, there's some interesting things going on coins. Dave Ackerman sent us some things. We got good news. 64,643 Bitcoins stolen through the 2016 hack of exchange Bitfinex were now moved to unknown wallets late Tuesday, and then they actually just nailed those people and arrested them. There's a newly formed Assange DAO, which is this, essentially it's a group of marauders with money that can do stuff. That's essentially what it is. They raised $4 million in an effort to free WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. So I wonder, is this going to be the new way of a politics? Just all these DAOs coming together and creating this massive amount of money to push and pull on the fabric of a country?
Why not?
Yeah, because
if it works.
You do that, and then these DAOs, who knows who's actually a member? And if you have, for example, in campaign contributions, if you're not allowed to take certain amount of campaign or any contributions from certain people, like maybe foreigners in certain countries.
Soros.
So maybe you could do it in a very masked way.
Yeah, there's plenty of that going on, you can be sure.
Let's see what else we got. India's finance ministry announced the plans for a 30% tax rate on crypto, which, okay, they're also talking about a digital rupee. Funny. And this is a great survey. One of these surveys. 33% of Americans would be more likely to go on a date with someone that mentioned cryptocurrency in their online dating profile.
Well, then insanity has taken over the world.
Pear-shaped. We're back to pear-shaped. Let's see. A home in Florida. I picked this one up. A home along Florida's Gulf Coast will be auctioned off in the coming weeks as a non-fungible token. Before you say that's crazy, that there's actually, this is smart, in my opinion. Because I thought about, I was talking to somebody about what would be a really good use case for an NFT, which again is just a authenticated ownership of something. It's tracked on the blockchain, easily identified, and then furthermore, easily sold, right? Have you been you've been through the process of buying and selling a house, and they got to go through the legal stuff. They got to get title.
You spend a day signing papers.
You got to get the title insurance. You got to get the title insurance. Where is it? If you don't get it, you got to buy this stuff. And the problem is how are you going to find it? It's the old attorney. The old attorney died. Where are you going to have? Okay, you got to get new title insurance. Biggest ripoff in the world. Okay, how about the title itself? The drawings, the specs, the plot, the deed, right? All this stuff, right? Package that all and put it into an NFT. One packaged, that house is a non-fungible token, tracked on the blockchain. When I sell it, boom, it just goes to the other party.
There's something there.
Right?
Blockchain real estate.
Yeah, but it's just the blockchain and the NFT from the functionality of what it can do. It doesn't change anything. It just changes the transaction. Makes it a single fluid transaction that's trackable and authenticated.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's a four-bedroom home.
There's something to think about.
Yep.
Definitely. So,
I think it's
something there. Yep. So there's something there.
Yep. Now, have you been playing this game called Wordle?
No, I haven't been playing any of these stupid
Wordle?
Games.
There's a new one out.
I heard about it.
Yep. There's a new one out with math. But the New York Times bought it. They acquired Wordle, a website.
Why?
A website-only word game that has seen a real burst of popularity for somewhere in this low seven figures. Which
why?
I don't know. They said, I don't know. Here's the oddity of this. There's other Wordle games with the same concept on apps already. There's no proprietary nature of it, it doesn't seem. And the thing about Wordle is you go once a day. There's only one word per day. Now, if you want, you can go back on a different computer or something and check. It's the same word. So there's no reason to go back but once a day, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, if the New York Times is doing it for advertising, why would they buy something that people are going to go back maybe once per day? I don't get it.
There's got to be something more to this story.
I don't understand. It's got to be all about advertising. Got to be. Smells of desperation.
Well, again, there's got to be more to the story.
I'd like you to somebody to find it for me, please. Tell me what the benefit is. I don't know. I had one more thing, but we could postpone. Oh, we have the, let's see here. I think there's a couple more days to put your guess in for the close to the pin for ARK, for ARKK. And, of course, you could donate to the show. Thank you all for donating over the last week or so. I send you a personal email. Let's see what else we got here. That's it. Let's get to the stocks.
Okay.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk.
along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures.
Mm-hmm. So, how are we looking here?
It's mixed. We have the recent stuff is not done well. Although the insiders pick on Performant Financial Corp. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's up 26% in a couple of weeks.
That's a beauty. Up another 5% today, too.
And Epizyme is up. But these are penny stocks.
Epizyme is closed out.
Oh, Epizyme did close out right at 5%. Oh, yeah. Well, it's still a good buy. I should do it again, but I don't do that. I would like to this week. I'd like to short Peloton.
Short Peloton. PTON. Enter. Let's see what the short is. Let's see what I got the short. So it's a short. Let me just do this. And what's your thesis besides crap company?
A crap company that just seems like a reverse dead cat, you know, kind of thing.
Dead cat. Dead cat. Not a bounce, but a dead cat.
Just a dead cat. Right. No bounce.
No bounce.
Dead cat, no bounce.
All right, we got a short here. Episode 593. Any other ones?
No, not really.
So let me tell you a couple of things that are going on here. John's still in the lead by a long shot with a 105% increase on FVC Bancorp. That's just amazing. We had Parcel up 30% and Vivi up 39%. Another pick of John's. I had United Parcels. A couple of them are just not doing much, just sitting there doing nothing. The competition between myself and John with the Netflix short long I won so far.
Oh, yeah.
Up 6.68%.
It's always a crapshoot when you want to short Netflix. Well, I don't know how long that's going to continue.
Here's the problem. Once you would have been probably right on, but a day later, a major hedge fund guy, Ackman, comes out and says, you know what? We're picking a big position here.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And just stock went straight up. Straight up. And then somebody else did something too. There was another position added.
Yeah, I got kicked off.
I'm going to put on there a short of oil.
Yeah, you got an ultra short. You're hoping for the a killing.
Uh-huh.
So you might be premature on this one.
Yes, that is true. I had the one premature natural gas that I went short that worked out just perfectly, just when we thought that. So maybe this is the first slide down before it stabilizes and goes right back, because they're gunning for this 100. They're gunning for 100.
I know they're gunning for it, but every time they've approached it, it's collapsed.
So that's what I'm thinking.
So you're betting on that.
I'm betting on that.
Yeah, I think it's a good bet, but you might be off by a week or two.
Yep. So we'll put the 15% on there and we'll go from there.
All right.
Sounds good.
That's about it.
All right. I'll see you again next week, sir.
All right. Talk to you then. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.